This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and thank you very much for downloading the Scotland Outdoors podcast. I'm Mark Stephen, and he's Ewan McElrath. And for this podcast, we're going to take you back to a visit we made last year to a real treasure trove. Charlie Gammack runs a saddle and ironmongery business in Aberlour.
We're standing on the pavement in the village of Aberlour, looking quite longingly inside a shop.
Once upon a time, not that terribly long ago in Scotland's history, horsepower meant literally just that. You know, our agriculture, quite a lot of our industry, quite a lot of transportation was actually driven by horses. And to work horses, you need tack, you need saddlery. So we've come to meet a guy, Charlie Gammack, who's something of a legend in the industry.
Yeah, just looking at his shop, a lovely old sign, hand-painted, Saddler and Ironmonger, established 1857.
And we've been told to come round the back of the place because that's where the workshop is.
The door's open. It's a bit like Aladdin's cave.
The faintest idea who we were, they'd never trust us to get this far.
We have a collection of skulls, antlers.
Lots of Wellingtons, things like, I don't know, compost, grow bags, you name it. Oh, lovely wee rocking horse there.
It's got a lovely proper old ironmonger smell and feel about it.
Yeah. And just bags of bird food, peanuts, all that kind of stuff. WD-40.
And a lovely old bell.
Yeah.
Somewhere in here. Oh, there's a workshop.
Charlie.
Charlie.
How are you doing?
What's this you're in amongst?
Oh, it's a way to make a belt for a man. He wanted a really good one, so that's just the best of leather.
So what makes good leather?
Good cows.
Good answer.
This is off the back of the cow, you know. And the other bit is the shoulder, you see.
But before we get into the intricacies of making a leather belt, take us back to the start.
You see, the start of the shop was that in 1857... it was established by a Mr. Garrow, David Garrow, and supposed to be that he came down from Ballindulloch. I don't know where he learned to be a saddler. I would love to find out, and I must try and do some research and do that. Then, when he died, his son Alec took it on, and he worked in it until 1934. And my father was a saddler in Laurenskirk and went away to the First World War, and he was in the Gordons, and he came back and he started in Brechin with a Mr. Laurie, a saddler. And this Mr. Laurie said to him, 1934, things were getting off a slow, you can, there was quite a recession on, and he said, I think you should take a week's holidays. Never been heard of. So he went away to Aberdeen with the family. That was my mother and brother and sister, myself. And he went away around to this Mr. Kimberley, who had a wholesale leather place in Aberdeen, and they knew one another quite well. And he said, there's a shop come up for rent in Aberlour. And my father says, oh, I couldn't afford that. He says, oh, well, it wouldn't be dear. He says, you should go up and have a look. So he persuaded them to go up, and they came up to Aberlour, and they met this Mrs. Garrow, and she just lost her husband, and she was keen to get rid of the shop. So anyway, they made the deal, and he said, right, I'll take it. And he paid £94, 11 shillings and 3 pence for the stock and trade. Mm-hmm. That old sewing machine there was actually one of them. And it's worked every day since then. Beautiful machine.
How old were you when you started working in this place? I mean, I'm not talking about just coming in and playing in this place, but working in it properly.
Working properly was when I left the school at 15. But I worked, as soon as I could walk, I was doing here with my dad, and I would be dying the edge of the leather and that, you know. And doing wee jobs like that, and cleaning things up and just helping in generally. And it was really great, and I really loved it. Then I left the school and started with him.
We've got horses at home, so I'm used to being around tack and saddlery and things like that. But this fascinates me, because you've got all sorts of wee boxes here with different types of leather, different colours of leather. You know, got bridal black, bridal brown, London Macallan, London, game bag, binder cloth, shoulder mix, elbow patch, all that kind of stuff. It's fascinating seeing this.
Aye.
You know, because it's to a certain extent, this is a trade that's kind of come round again.
It does.
It nearly died down and it's come back up again.
That's what I was going to tell you, that what happened was that it did die down, and my father went into ironmongery. Mm-hmm. I went into the army in 1952, and I wanted to drive a lorry because I couldn't drive, dying to drive a lorry. And the selection officer had said, oh yes, Gammick, we have you earmarked as a saddler. And I thought, oh damn that, I didn't want that. But anyway, I went into the army. I was transferred to the Horse Transport Training Company in Aldershot.
Okay.
And we had 70 horses. And there was 3 saddlers. And it was really great. The next door neighbour was a stable, was the Royal Military Mounted Police. And we did all their harness, as well as the harness for our company, you see. Mm-hmm. Oh, I had a time of my life. I did a riding course, and it was our jockeys and show jumpers that was in it, you know. It was really great.
So were you making tack at that point, or were you part riding the horses?
Well, repairing. We didn't really have to make a lot of new stuff for the army, because they had stocks and stocks of harness, you know. And we repaired all the harness, and the Olympic Games, the riding.
The Equestrian Olympics.
Aye. And it was Colonel Harry Llewellyn and a nice fella, and Peter Robson, Craven A, all these horses and men. And anyway, we did some repairs for them, you know, because they came in and used our riding school in Aldershot. And then I was lucky enough to get asked to go to the Horse of the Year show to put up the jumps. And I did that for 2 years. And I was awful lucky, because it was a great experience. And of course, that was the great thing about being a saddler in the army. I got all this experience that I wasn't getting at home. So then they wanted me to go to Nairobi. And I was keen to go to Nairobi. And my father says, no, no, you'll just come home.
Father stuff here.
Oh,
right. Just sitting in the corner. Talk me through this. What is this?
That's a bridle.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to make these, and I would sit and sew that. They were all hand sewn, of course. Mm-hmm. every farm kept its own buckle, you know. And if they went, the old boys went to a ploughing match, they would see the harness and they would say, oh, that's Ballindulloch or that's Kadermany.
So their own style of buckle?
Just from the buckle?
Just for the buckle, aye.
Okay.
That one actually is Ballindulloch.
Uh-huh. So what's that made of? Is that chrome steel or what?
It's nickel.
Nickel.
Aye. Yeah. And that's the great thing about these, they don't rust, you see.
No. And I'm just looking at the bit on this.
Uh-huh.
That goes in the right, yeah.
Pretty primitive stuff.
Isn't it?
Isn't it just?
But that was all the Clydesdales, exactly. That was the bit they used, you know.
Well, I don't know what they use now, but I mean, that's a solid 6 inches of cast iron.
They have a broken bit now, you know, a snaffle like that one hanging up there.
It's kind of in the horse's mouth and it can move. How does this compare to the army stuff? Because I mean, the army stuff presumably wouldn't have been terribly decorative.
Much the same, actually. Aye. The saddles was different. They were easier made because the bits are fitted together and that. My daughter is a saddle fitter now, and she's got a lot of saddles.
Yeah. When you came
she's
back,
off her busy.
When you came back from the army, presumably the whole trade in leather and in harness was just in free fall. It must have been dying.
It was terrible. That's why we stuck in so much to the ironmongery, you know, to keep the shop going. Mm-hmm. And it was all school bags and dog stuff, collars and leads. And then there was still the binder cloths. They went on for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And we did hundreds of binder cloths for farmers around about, you know.
What's binder cloths? Explain that.
It was the cloth that, when the binder was cutting the corn, the corn fell onto this cloth and was carried through the binder and tied up with a string, and the sheaf was tied up with a string and then thrown out. Okay. And if it was raining and the cloth got wet, they got tore easy, you know, and they built up with weeds and there was a lot of work. And they were about four yards long, the cloth, the big one, and it had about 12 sticks on it, you know, and four straps and buckles at the end to fasten it. So it was quite a lot of work. And we made a lot of new ones. And only last year, I made three to go to Benbecula here.
Somebody's still using that kind of binder?
There's one or two on the go. Mm-hmm.
There must be a lot of your school bags still knocking around the country.
There is, you know. They're beautiful. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Tell me, there's a box open here, just the tools. Talk me through some of this stuff. What is it all for?
This could take some time.
That's the plough knife, and it's a gauge, you see, and you screw it out and you decide which size you have to make it, the buckle, you see, and then you cut the strap
to
fit.
That size.
So that's a plough knife. This is a saddler's round knife, and then you got a half round knife.
Quite like that. I don't know what I'd ever want to use it for, but I think I want one.
Yeah, it's sharp. It's sharp, yeah.
They're lovely tools. And the museum in Glasgow got in touch with me about 2 or 3 years ago and said they had some tools and they didn't know what to call them. And could I tell them? And they sent up pictures of them. And I told them. And then they came and said, would I demonstrate them? And they come up here for about 2 days and took pictures of the tools and then be using the tool. And now there's a fellowman in Glasgow in the Motor Museum and they have me making a little bridle.
Could you show me how, I mean, you were working on that belt when we came in. Can you show me how the plough knife works?
Well, this block in here.
This bench is seen.
Just as well.
Decades of service.
Just as well, it's nailed down, isn't it?
Well, it's extremely... Well, it's just as well we're being watched. Just a bit old. Right. So there's... So you've got a guide.
Look at that.
really sets the width. And this leather's quite thick, I would say. It's maybe about 4 mil, something like that, 5 mil maybe.
You've got an instant belt.
5 mil.
And it's just going right the way through, smooth as you like.
It's like parting of the waves, isn't it?
It's absolutely mesmeric, that. Look at that.
And you get that smell off it.
Look at that.
Do you still get the satisfaction?
I do. I just love working at making things.
Yeah.
And my daughter is really the saddler now. She does everything.
Uh-huh. And what are you doing now?
I'm taking off the edge to make it smoother.
Okay. Again, that's another tool.
And
what's
to polish it. This is just an edging tool, just as it is. And there's all different sizes of them, from 1 up to 20.
Presumably there's an electric tool that would do the same job.
It doesn't make such a good job, though. You would do me out to a job.
We would not.
No, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm just in awe.
Yeah.
Lovely sound, isn't it?
Quite proud of my daughter because she really is good. She makes a better job than me nowadays.
Now, you got your turn about choosing a tool. Go and grab that mallet, not that one, the one behind it.
Oh, the big one.
It caught my eye as I came in.
Oh,
it looks like it's been around for 100 years.
It's about the size of a banjo, roughly.
A little banjo, polished.
What's that for?
Well, describe that to me. That's the thing of beauty.
It's lignum vitae, and it's very, very heavy. And it's for beating the saddle into shape when you're paneling a saddle. Tap it with this.
You see? Tap it?
Let me see.
That's a fair old weight.
Yeah.
That's a thing of beauty, though, isn't it?
That is, it's just the years of use on this.
The wood balls are made with.
Aye. Yeah.
You know.
Aye. Is that something you inherited, though? That looks like it's been around for a long time.
Oh, it's been here all my life.
Yeah.
My father bought 2 saddler shops, one in Dufton and one in Granton, and we got a lot of extra tools then, you know. So we've a lot of other good tools.
How old are they, the tools?
Well, 100 years.
At least.
Uh-huh. Some of this is still up Mr. Gore's.
There was one more question from me. What is that thing? It's a wee chair, looks like a saddle. Over here.
Oh, that's for stitching this belt.
Oh, well, you've got the belt. Let's go over and have a wee look.
See, what we would do, we would put a line on this.
That's wonderful.
Effectively, it just runs a groove down the side of the belt. Oh, that's just brilliant.
It's putting a dent in it. A dent's the wrong word, but it's...
Yeah.
And then it's a crease mark.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you stitch along, this line.
You were saying initially you would have done all the stitching by hand because I was looking at that
still
bridle.
Do?
Really?
Aye.
Because the bridle there is incredibly regular. You'd think it was machine done.
Oh, I know.
Huh?
I can show you that. I can show you down here.
Aye.
I don't want you to watch too close or you go away home and start doing it yourself.
I would be so tempted, Charlie.
I think you're
so
safe.
Tempted.
A hammer and a pair of scissors isn't going to crack it.
Oh, look at this. So this will create the stitching marks.
It's like a comb.
Yeah. That's one lot. And then that's the second lot.
See,
so it's like a
beautiful.
It's like a punch,
aye,
but an inch and a half, quarter long.
And then what we would do is, we would put. Can you push over that bit of lead?
And this is presumably cutting out for the pin of the buckle.
Look at that.
That lovely.
That's punched an oblong hole in it beautifully.
Yeah.
What I would do is I would thin this down, and that's, you put it in here.
Another magical tool.
and pull it through.
Wow.
It's like a spoke shave for leather. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just shaved a wee bit off
it. Just shaved it.
Don't stick your fingers through that.
Not fingers a left. Time.
And then we've got this delightful hobby horse.
Aye.
With a big...
It's a saddler's horse, right enough. And you put it in there. And put down this lever with your foot.
So it's like a wooden vise.
It's just a wooden vise.
And then you can stitch it here through the edges.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's just brilliant, that.
You see, what we would do is we would dye that first, mm-hmm. you know. And then when you polish it with a cloth, mm-hmm. it really comes up a nice shine on it. You know, and it seals it. Long ago, we used to make our own threads. Every thread we made, it was sewed, no matter what it was. It was handmade threads. And it was this hemp, very thin hemp. And we used to make them three if it was a very fine kind of job, but four was the common, four together.
Like a four-ply?
Four-ply. Uh-huh. And doing a game bag, sewing the main bit of the game bag, used to do it 12.
Wow.
Okay. Aye.
What's this that you're running the thread through? What is that?
That's beeswax.
Okay.
And of course, our saddlers had to be beekeepers to get your supply of beeswax.
You kept your own bees?
I kept our own bees.
I didn't know that. Oh. Right, so what you've again, we've got the sewing machine here. You're putting the threads up against one another. And you've got a wee thing. That's it. Tell me why you're spitting in your hand.
To make it easier to break it.
Okay.
Because it sticks a wee bit better to your hand. And you break it on your leg mm-hmm. like that, and it's fine, mm-hmm. you see?
It just came away. Just parted. Right.
And then you put them together like that, mm-hmm. up here, and the same distance. Because you want them all the same uh-huh. length.
So that's now... You've got three lengths now.
And we'll do this one, four.
Okay.
And then we twist them mm-hmm. together.
Wow. Simple as that. You're just basically rolling it down your thigh.
That's right.
Heck of a mess of your breeches.
That's it.
Oh no, spiling my bonnet trousers. Yeah. Okay. Now keep them together. And then rub on your beeswax.
And why hemp rather than cotton?
Well, cotton wouldn't break.
Okay.
Is one of the reasons. And the idea is that you want this nice tapered end on your thread for two or three reasons. Firstly, it's an awful lot easier to go through the needle because you have a lovely point. And then it's thinner at the end.
Is that just remarkable?
It's just elegance. I've never even thought about making thread before. Yeah. It's just beautiful.
You see?
And it is. I mean, basically, the ends are kind of pointed, so you can get the through the needle, no bother at all.
That's right. Goes through the needle. And then when what happens is, when you have the needle in the air, and you double it back, and you twist it, see, twist it there, this is still thinner than it is here. So when you make the hole through the leather with the awl, and this passes through the hole, as you pull it, it goes into the thicker part of the thread and it pushes it out and it makes it waterproof because it fills the hole.
So much.
And as the two threads pass at a wee bit of speed when you're pulling them, the beeswax melts and it sticks the two threads together.
How did you discover that by accident? The man that invented that must have been a happy man or woman.
I know. It is really magic.
It's just wonderful.
Before we move away from the world of bridles and belts, which is a mysterious world to me, tell me what this is. I think I know what it is, but you tell me.
That is for a tablet on the railway. You know, and the signalman would go down onto the platform and hold this out, and the guard would put his hand out the second man on the rail, on the engine, put out his hand, and they would exchange the tablets.
And that meant you couldn't have two trains on one section of the track.
That's right.
If you didn't have that key or that tablet,
that
you couldn't travel.
Key. That's right. That key went to change the signal. It was a brass key, you know.
So why have you got one? Or two, three?
We repair them and make new ones. Oh, that's great.
Tell me about the sticks in the corner.
Oh, that's my hobby since I tried to retire. I make a lot of walking sticks. And my latest thing is making them with buffalo. Well, they're antler, and then to cover the end of the stick, the point of the antler, to make it safer for people that they don't get jabbed, we cut them off the point and then put on a bit of buffalo. This one is actually lignum vitae that's on there.
Okay. This thread binding round about here has got a D-ring attached to the side of the stick. What's the purpose of that?
Well, that's for the fishers. And okay. We make a harness that goes round their shoulder and it hooks on there when they're fishing in the river. And then the stick doesn't float away when they let go at the cast.
Aye. So do you miss working with leather, or do you keep your hand in, or is the sticks replaced?
Well, I'm doing it here every day and keeping my girls right.
How old are you?
I'll be 84 next month.
But you still enjoy making things, that's the whole point.
I enjoy it better now, I think, because there's no pressure now, you know. It's really great. I just love it.
You've obviously had a long and happy life doing this. Do you think in the same period of time in the future folk will still be doing it?
I don't know. I would love my granddaughter to work at the bench, but she's so busy, I don't know if she's time. But she does a wee bit. She's interested, but, you know, there's no money in it, you see.
No money, but a lot of satisfaction. Charlie,
a lot of satisfaction.
It's been an absolute pleasure coming in here and having a look at this. Thank you very much, a real privilege.